This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Mama restaurants, they're everywhere in Malaysia. In fact, they're a part of our culture. They sell a wide variety of Malaysian food, cater to all races, and even televise football matches, which brings about massive, massive crowds, especially during the weekend. But how did this unique restaurant concept come to be? And how has it contributed to the social cohesion in the country? I'm Dashran Johan, and this is Today I Learned. On the show with me today is Professor Dato Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin. He's the director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies, also known as KITA. And back in 2015, Dr. Shamsul wrote a paper titled Mamakization, Food and Social Cohesion in Multi-Ethnic Malaysia. Welcome to the show, Dr. Shamsul.
Thank you very much. I'm very fortunate to be invited and very honored too. Thank you.
Let's get right into it. Before we get into the details, right, Dr. Shamsul, what exactly inspired you to do this study?
Well, I'm an anthropologist by training, and my subject matter is always the community. So my observation has always been about what happened at the grassroots level and what are the significant things at the micro level that actually inform the micro level. I mean, we talk about politics in Malaysia, but right, we forgot about the voters, we forgot about the young one, we talk about the elites. So I'm always focusing on the ordinary people and what they do and what seem to be not significant, but I think many of what they do in this country are quite significant.
In your paper, you start by talking a little bit about McDonaldization. What exactly is this idea of McDonaldization, and how does it tie into what we are talking about today?
McDonaldization is a theory put forward by an American who studied on fast food. All right. So he's trying to differentiate between the normal restaurant and McDonald's and the principles that guide them, you know, and the success of McDonald's in 100 so countries around the world. In fact, you know, it's interesting. There are only four important things we have to watch when we talk about modernization. The first is efficiency. I mean, that's the key to their success. And because they are so successful, others have followed the way they do it. So that's why it's called modernization, McDonaldization. Besides being efficient, they're also good at accounting, calculability. You know, how many cents, you know, the burger costs, how many cents, how many dollars and cents. And predictability, you know, the production of the burgers, always for a certain number of seconds, a time, and as unit, and very clear in the in the sense of the process of production, and finally control. They have control of, say, you know, how many workers they should have, the machinery, and I think it's a model of running a restaurant, but a fast food restaurant. This is where I start to look at Mamak. What is so significant about Mamak? Why are they everywhere? Right. Why can they operate 24 hours? Not even McDonald's can operate 24 hours. Not in all places.
Right.
Then I found out that, you know, there are two sides of looking at anything that you want to do with food. Number one is the content of it, the food itself, the quality of food, the menu, and so on. The other one is the economics of it. Because you have to know. You have to know the market supply, the market chain, where do you get your raw material, how reliable are these things. And thirdly, you also have to look into the human resource, people who are working. So when you look at Mama, it's a little bit more complex than McDonald's.
Right.
Yeah. So I think this is where I feel very motivated to look. What is so magnificent about this practice?
And, you know, when we talk about McDonald's, right, we talk about the business side of it. Is there also a cultural side? I'm wondering if, you know, the fact that, you know, this whole McDonaldization also ties into this idea of globalization, this idea that, you know, we see McDonald's everywhere, in many, many countries across the world. Does that tell us anything about America's role or the power they have, they hold in a globalized society?
Well, I think you have to remember when the McDonald's was introduced, of course, it was in the US, Canada, right. North America, that became multiplied all over the world. And it got popular along what I call the development and expansion of consumer culture.
Right.
So we are also talking about jeans. We are talking about T-shirts.
Mm.
We are talking about sunglasses. We are talking about perfume, you know. So McDonaldization and McDonald's is part of the consumer culture. And consumer culture is globalist in its nature. And in fact, it's interesting to see the theory in the US. They say that the existence of McDonald's will reduce the possibility of conflict between two nations. Now, I look at Ukraine and Russia. They all have McDonald's.
Absolutely.
Why are they at war? Right. So I think some of these theories have got its limitations. You know?
Absolutely, yeah. Now, you're looking at food and trying to paint a picture about the wider context, cultural context of Malaysia. What is the significance of food in this part of the region? Because your paper states, and I quote, "South Asia illustrates perfectly how society pervades into social practice of eating." How so, Dr. Shamsul?
Well, not only South Asia, but Southeast Asia too,
right.
Especially, we are peasant society for a long, long time. Peasant society make connection and do things in their culture through food.
Right.
Whether it's for wedding, whether you have a conflict and then you want to find a way of mediating and trying to talk again to your enemies or foes, food is always the most important element in that process. So food is part of the socializing process that we have in our cultures. And every culture, and what more in Southeast Asia? You know why it is so important in Southeast Asia? Because we are at the center of the global crossroad for many centuries. The Portuguese brought chili in the 16th century. The Indian brought spices. So is the Chinese. So especially Southeast Asia and less of South Asia has been the center for what I call the meeting place of all food and all spices around the world. So our connection to the rest of the world is through their cultures, through their food and interaction. So don't forget, food is about social interaction too. You know, I mean, of course, people can eat on their own, buy the nasi bungkus and in one corner and eat. But I think the interaction between the guy who bought a nasi bungkus with the guy who sells it,
right,
is also an interaction.
Absolutely.
So I think we have to be a little bit more open and when we see this interesting phenomenon in our life.
Let's hone in on the mamak culture. But before that, what exactly is a mamak stall? And, you know, it seems like a benign, simple question, right? But I have met peers, believe it or not, Dr. Shamsul, who don't really know, like they will use the term mamak stall and sometimes, let's say, banana leaf restaurant or curry house very interchangeably and things like that. So perhaps you can paint a picture for us. What exactly is a mamak stall?
Before that, I would like to explain there is a problem in Malaysia where we don't recognize sub-ethnic groups, you know.
Right.
We always call Melayu, China, India, Malay, Chinese, Indian. We are caught in that, you know. But actually, the real rich Malay, Indian and Chinese are the sub-ethnic group. Now, this sub-ethnic group, we never talk about. We just, sometimes we dismiss them. Sometimes we look down upon them. And this is very sad. And yet they contribute so much to enriching our culture.
Right.
So mamak stall, mamak food, has got something to do with the Indian Muslim.
Right.
In its origin in Penang, in Penang, because it's a food of people of the workers, you know. And if you go into a bit further, you will see nasi kandar, you know, and a lot of mamak stall and nasi kandar stalls in Penang. Yeah, so, and yet, when you go to North Indian restaurant, it's different from the South Indian restaurant.
Absolutely.
Therefore, their sub-ethnic group is still different. And then people don't know what is the origin of banana leaf. Why should it banana leaf? they have to look at their Hindu religion. So I think it's quite interesting. The rich culture and nuances within what we have in this country is incredible. And this is where my role as anthropologist is, I consider, very useful to explain this vagueness of little things that we know that we take for granted.
Yeah. How did Mamak restaurants become a culture here in Malaysia? Because as you mentioned, you know, and as I alluded to in the introduction, this is everywhere. It is arguably just as popular or perhaps even more popular than something like McDonald's. It is everywhere. Every neighborhood has not just one, but multiple. And like you said, there is a specific style to it. It's 24 hours and all of this. And throughout Malaysia, it's such a norm. It has become part of our society. How does that work? How did Mamak restaurants become such a major part of our culture here?
We have an expanding population. We also have expanding economy. So we are involved in primary industries. We are involved in manufacturing. We are involved in service industry. These are the three areas of the economics of the country. So each of them has got workers, you know. And workers there, you can horizontally, you can see of different ethnic groups, different groups, immigrant and local. And then vertically, you see the lower class, B40, M40, and right. T20. So you can see Mamak shop is not a place where the rich really come, you know.
Right.
They may come quietly through their drivers, go and buy food for us, because their children went there. Their children who are students will go there. So there are three groups of people I noticed in this Mamak shop. Number one is single. Single people, immigrant or workers of groups of people coming from an office. And then there is the families. You know, families who cannot afford expensive food and they want quick food, they come to Mamak shop. And then finally, you have a group of students. I think students, Malaysia is very, very high in its investment of education, you know, higher education, whether in terms form of a diploma or whatever. Now, where do these students eat? What can they afford? They go to Mamak shop. So we have created our own, the Mamak has created its own niche in the context of our human resource and our education development, in our industrial development. So it has become a part and parcel of us, the culture, the lifestyle of Malaysian. Is Mamak is part of the component. So I think this is where we have to look beyond just the food, but we also the interconnection and networking with the general condition of this country that we always see. I mean, this is where during the COVID, Mamak has adopted all this gig economy very quickly.
Yeah.
So I think they are very flexible, accommodative, and practical in a sense.
And what's unique about Mamak is, you know, you don't see this in, let's say, kopitiams. You don't see this concept in, let's say, in banana leaf restaurants or a North Indian restaurant or whatever. And it's that it feels like a place that communities go and hang out just for fun. Like, you know, you can have a roti canai. You may not even buy any food, just with your Milo ice, with your kopi ice. You just sit there and talk for 4 hours. You know, not to promote this, but you know, for a long time, when before the strict smoking bans, shisha stalls used to be in a lot of Mamaks.
Yeah.
Football, this is something common. Yeah. Every Mama, you know, almost every Mama, especially the bigger ones, they have football. People crowd, go there and, you know, crowd as if like it's a sports bar, essentially, you know. What is it about Mamak that has made it like that? Even the food, while all restaurants, I'd say various cuisines, they sort of adapt a little bit to local styles. Like a Malaysian Chinese food would be a little bit different from China Chinese food, for example, and things like that. Same with Indian food and whatnot. But Mamak culture, Mamak restaurants, they have multiple. They have from nasi goreng China to Indian food to Thai. Nowadays, all Mamak restaurants have Thai food and it's a local fusion kind of thing.
Mamak shop or Mamak place is a place of convergence. Mm-hmm. People of different background, different interests, but they don't necessarily mix. They may be sitting in the same place, enjoying what Mama offers.
Right.
All right? Now, there is an element we don't talk about Mama shop, which is called entertainment. Mm-hmm. People don't imagine Mama is providing entertainment, but they do.
Right.
And I've seen a Mama shop. They got 3 or 4 TVs, big ones,
yeah,
showing La Liga, showing EPL, and showing our Harimau team.
Yeah.
So I can imagine people look for an entertainment, alternative entertainment place. I remember interviewing an old guy, 70-plus guy. I said, Pachi, what are you doing here? I said, at home, they see all this drama, TV, Korea. I have no time to see any football and or anything that I want to do. So I have to come to Mama shop.
Right. Now,
it's an interesting story,
yeah,
but it is very true too, mm-hmm, you know, in some sense, you know. There are some family dynamics that doesn't allow people to see everything what they want to see. And Mama, yeah, provides that space. I mean, it's incredible for me to discover that this Pachi actually has got problem at home wanting to give this program, and they got only one big TV, and majority were girls, they said, you know. So they want to see this Korean show, and I have to come here, they said. So right, in some ways, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that there is an entertainment element in a Mama shop too, you know. People go to pub, people go to bazaar, whatever, but people go to Mama, not only they see food, they eat food. So they can enjoy, as you say. They can just sit and have a glass of teh tarik and sit there for 2 hours. We're going to stop them. Right. And now with Wi-Fi and everything, so Mama offers all this. Mm. I haven't gone to a kopitiam shop that offers me Wi-Fi. It's quite interesting how the initiative taken and the innovation taken by the owners of Mama. And no wonder they call themselves Faris Maju, that Maju, this Maju. They're really Maju in a way.
On the show with me today is Professor Dato' Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin. He's the director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies, also known as KITA. After the break, I asked him about the cuisines at Mama's stalls and the significance of them serving cuisines of various ethnicities. Keep it here on Today I Learned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Today I Learned. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Professor Dato' Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin, Director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies, also known as KITA. And we're talking about Mamak culture here in Malaysia. So, Doctor, I'm wondering if you look at it this way. You know, I'm listening to you talk, and what comes to mind is that Mamak restaurants are in a way, a uniquely Malaysian, perhaps family-friendly halal version of bars, the pub culture or the bar culture, where different people of different walks of life, they go, they watch football, they meet their friends, they just lepak, you know, all these kinds of things. It's essentially a hangout place, but yep, a more uniquely Malaysian, yep, and halal version of a bar. Would you see it that way?
You're right, because there is this American and Swedish have studied
right,
the good places. In life, you see, you know, first is home, though not everyone agrees with that. Anyway, number two, place of work.
Right.
Number three is where do you go? You go to a pub in America, in England, you go to a pub in Australia, you go to the pub.
All right.
In Malaysia, where do you go? Yes, some people go to the pub, of course. Mm. But most people, where do they go?
Yeah.
Automatic. You know, you don't have to say anything. Where do you want to go today, man? I go, Mama lah, easy.
Yeah.
Something, you know, this kind of reaction is almost so spontaneous reaction by our public who has now embraced this Mamakization process that we have gone through in the last, I think in the last 20 years. It has grown according to some of the studies that I've looked into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we look at workers, the first in Petaling Jaya, free trade zone, all the Mama stores, that's where the Mama stores are. They're not in the shop, in the stores. The rojak stall and so on, providing food, a packet, and then, you know, for the workers to take into the factories and eat. So if you really observant about this, you can see the versions of the Mama stall, Mama, this not nasi kanda, not banana leaf. Banana leaf, you have to have a steady place where you cannot, you don't have to move. You have to.
Right.
But mama shop, they can. Mm-hmm. Mama stall exists everywhere, every corner.
Mm-hmm. Now, your study talks about social cohesion. Dr. Shamsul, what exactly is social cohesion and how do mama stalls contribute to social cohesion in Malaysia?
Basically, we are so used to the word unity in this country.
Mm.
National unity and so on. But I'm proposing another word. It's not unity we are having. Unity is what we dream of.
Right.
Okay. What we have, social cohesion. We are stable. We are peaceful. We are harmonious, healthy, and the well-being is being looked after. Relatively, if we compare to countries in Africa and Latin America, I've been to many of them, this is what we enjoy, this cohesion. Ability to enjoy the peaceful situation, harmonious situation, and so on and so forth. You see the election 2018, you know, the change of government. There were 16 other elections in the world at that time, in that year. They all ended up in violence.
Right.
But how come Malaysia is able to make the transition peacefully? This is a result of not national unity, as a result of cohesion. We know what is good for us, what is bad for us. We agree with some, we disagree to some. The best example I can give you is, if you know this calendar called Calendar Kuda, a calendar where you can see horse. On Saturday, there's a picture of horse, and then Friday, a picture of mosque, and school holidays. Malaysia is the only country that managed to put a calendar that summarizes its life and cultural life and economic life in Malaysia. Now, for me, that is the iconic example of cohesion in Malaysia. You buy one calendar, I mean, you go to Kedai Dobi, you go to barber shop, you see this calendar on the wall. And that calendar is only in Malaysia. It doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. And here, when we don't know when there's a school holidays, you just look at the calendar. You don't have even to have a smartphone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think this is what social cohesion is all about. The ability to adopt, to adapt, to borrow culture. And this is what we are good at. Now everyone is eating nasi lemak. Now everyone is cooking mee goreng. I tell you, I mean, when I grew up, I don't know how to eat mee hoon or mee goreng because it's all nasi lemak. Until Darul Arkam introduced the notion halal mee hoon. So it's interesting in this country. Cultural borrowing is very strong. I'm not talking more about what ladies borrow from each other in terms of fashion and clothes. Right. You know, so we are quite fantastic cultural borrowers.
And you single out mama as a unique thing when it comes to social cohesion. Is it because it borrows a lot of elements from different cuisines and all and comes up with something unique?
Yeah. This is what Mama Shop has been able to
do.
They have been able to, we have seen Mama Shop in a Chinese area, they offer different thing, the menu. Mama Shop in a Malay area, they offer a slightly different menu. Why so? I asked. And they said, well, I have my client all Melayu here. So they want, you know, nasi goreng, rendang and all this stuff. And they want a chapati with egg. I said, what? Chapati with egg? Never heard that before. So this concoction, they can concoct all this food that we don't imagine exists in this world. You know, I mean, if you go to Mama shop in Penang, they will draw you this roti, you know, roti. It's interesting. Right. Where does the invention come from? I mean, I still feel there's a lot more innovative ideas they have in their head in come to food, you know. So we are all happy with that. And we're never shy to ask them, can you cook this for me? Can you cook this for me? Can you cook this way? Can you cook that way? Can I have my mee goreng with two fried eggs? Or, you know, I think it's just that, I hate to use this word. It's democratic of choice, you know?
Right.
Democracy of choice. It's incredible. So I always go to Mama's shop thinking, when I arrive there, I will start to think what I want to eat rather than planning what I want to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to a McDonald's, you have to plan. I want to buy this burger, that burger, and that package, and those, and so on. But McDonald's allows you to have it quick, so-called. But so is Mama Shop.
Yeah. And, you know, apart from the democratization of choice, right? And it is very unique to Mama, because you don't see anyone going to a Chinese restaurant, a banana leaf restaurant, or even a Malay restaurant and say, you know, I want this, tambah this, kurang this. Yeah. This. Essentially, you become the chef and they just make whatever you want. Yeah. And that's very unique to Mama restaurants. But it's also, you know, like we touched on, it serves food and cuisines that transcend ethnic boundaries, because you know you cannot go, or it's very rare you can go to a curry leaf, a banana leaf curry house or whatever, and say you want rendang. But you can go to a Mama and you can order rendang. You can go to a Mama and order nasi goreng Cina. You can go to a Mama and order something that is perhaps very uniquely Indian in like its breads and thosai and things like that. It's very uniquely you know, Indian, and you know, and you have all these, and you know, you also have Thai food that is also part of thing. But when people think, people are looking at all of this, right? And people are thinking Malaysian food. When they go to Mama, they just considered all of it as Malaysian food. What is the significance of this serving cuisines that transcend ethnic boundaries?
Well, for me, this is what I call the contribution of Mama to social cohesion. We agree to agree on certain things, we disagree to agree on certain things. So Mama has found this balance. This balance that many other restaurants can't find. The balance between the need of the individual and the ability. So that's why you can see Mama Shop is never not without many workers. You know, many workers. And time element is important. Quick. And if you go now to some Mama Shop, I don't know how many, but I have to go back and calculate all this. They have their own iPad. Incredible.
Right.
I mean, I can't find anywhere else, really. Not even in a five-star restaurant. They don't have that. You know, they still have this old French style coming with a, you know, with a little booklet.
Yes. And, you know,
registering what we want to order. But in Mama Shop, I think the rack goes to the cook as well as it goes to the cashier. So, I mean, they never get confused with money. That's what I said. They
are right.
As good as, if not better than McDonald's in terms of calculating whatever they are they are selling you. So people like that. And if you see what you observe now, it's quite different from what I used to observe that was before pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch during the pandemic or after pandemic now, you can see rushing. There's a lot of, they have to deal with the people they eat in the restaurant and the people who are ordering. From the Grab or Foodpanda or whatever. So they have to deal with two simultaneous restaurants. One is you see, one you don't see.
Right.
Now, how do you explain that? Now, for me, the other thing that I noticed, Mama Shop, usually they have the workers staying upstairs.
Right.
Which means that they can continue to cook for 24 hours. And I noticed, because we have stayed in some restaurant for 24 hours, you know, just to watch what they do. They do cook again and again. So, of course, there is the downside. A lot of people got stomach ache and problem, and they said, oh, this is Mama food and all this. Yes and no. You have to be really very clear. You go to Bazaar Ramadan, you get stomach ache too. You get food poison too. So I think that you have to be very careful using that negative element to to show how not good they are. No, I think it's just callous on some people.
Yes.
You know? So I think in some ways, the human resource management is very good too. So the question now about capital. Okay, this is the thing I raised. They have an association of Mama Shop. There are 2,000 of Mama Shop in this country. Yeah? They complain that during pandemic, they cannot earn money and all this stuff. So they have an association. So I managed to talk to some of the leaders of the association. They provide capital, you know, for revival of this restaurant after pandemic. You know, some basic capital and organizing the work is not easy. You have to pay immigration. So if you can see the myriad of networking you have to do in order to succeed as a mama entity, it's incredible, you know. So they are dealing with immigration. They're dealing with the local council because they usually put table outside on the road and they cannot do that. They get summoned 500 ringgit per table. So it's interesting for me how they survive, like cat and mouse kind of situation with the local PBT people, you know, local council people. Yeah, so this is the uniqueness, which I don't see my kopitiam shop doing this, you know.
Yeah.
I go to a kopitiam Chinese shop in Seremban. I live in Seremban, so I find that fantastic. But Mama is my default restaurant.
Yeah, it's something genuinely very unique and unique to Malaysia. And something else you pointed out quite interesting in your study is the you made some observations on communication styles and code switching in mama stalls. You want to tell us a little bit about this and what is its significance?
Mama shop is a multilingual space.
Right.
Okay. You can hear not only language, Chinese, Mandarin, whatever it is, or Tamil, or Hindi, or Sikh, but Baza Malay is the language that you speak. Oh, I call it bizarre Malay sometimes. You know, sometimes you order the wrong thing. You know? But it's interesting for me to watch them code switching, you know. Melayu, English, Tamil, and then, you know, the same group of workers, they have now learned Malay. Because apparently those who want to come to Malaysia, like in Bangladesh, they have to follow Malay classes. Right. Then only they could come here. This is why I also discovered this, that they have to pay a few, whatever, ringgit they have to pay to learn Bahasa. So they become a more valuable worker than another guy who doesn't know the language. So all these little details of organization, we don't see them. We just see the stage within which they're acting out of these activities. Yeah? But I think they have quality workers too, I think, in some sense, you know. They have to be clean, they have to be you know, good and entertaining to people, you know. So I think this is what we see in a mama shop, that I hardly hear any quarrel in mama shop.
Yeah,
no quarrel at all. People quarreling for food, yes, but not in mama shop. Honestly, yeah.
Right. Dr. Shamsul, this has been a very fascinating conversation. Final thoughts, Dr. Shamsul, before I let you go, on the importance of mama to Malaysia and Malaysian culture and society. What is the importance of mama?
Well, mama shop has managed to capture the essence of Malaysian society, which is based on cultural assimilation, based on cultural borrowing, based on accommodation, and based on amalgamation, you mix and hybridization. So its ability to do all those, I think, is the key to its success. And it has become, I would like to claim, has become organic to our society.
On that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Shamsul.
Welcome.
That was Professor Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin. He's a director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies, also known as KITA. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check us out on podcasts. We're available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Darshan Johan, and this has been Today I Learned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.